First question is always the hardest. Colleen.
Okay, so I was going through I have all the notes, all the topics I've ever brought up on our coaching calls.
So we also have an OG coaching call.
Yeah.
7 a.m. every other Sunday. And so she's collected every question she's asked.
So sometimes I'll literally copy and paste it. I'll throw it into ChatGPT and I'll say, what questions haven't I asked yet? But... that's not my
question. That wasn't available when we started.
Yeah, that's not my question though. So I was just scrolling through and one of the things that came up, I don't know what the note was about, but it said, do you ever calendar accountability? And so I was interested to hear what you think about that.
So the idea of calendaring is interesting, right? For me, you got to define words when people ask questions because it's stable data. And if we don't use stable data, if Colleen tells me I want a lot of dough, I might bring her cookies next time. Or, you know, I might just, you know, give her this. Right? So, yeah. Now, either way, she's happy. So, no, that's yours. So, the idea is that how do we calendar things? And can you, first of all, calendar accountability? So, for me, calendaring is utilizing a centralized repository that based off of the common denominator of the future, the only certainty of the future, time. A calendar is a repository of the future, the only certain future. I promise you there'll be nothing certain about tomorrow except for your time that's listed on your calendar. All of us have the exact same every day of our life except for the last day you'll be cheating. You have 24 hours. So, if you want to calendar accountability, then you need to understand accountability in your definition. Me, accountability has three prongs. What did I learn from my responsible activity? Like how I was responsible for this activity and what did I learn from it? The attractive activity, what did I do to attract this and what am I supposed to learn from it? And my perception, what did I do to participate in this perception? And what am I supposed to learn from it? So if I was going to calendar accountability, which I don't, because accountability is part of my values that I utilize to assess my intention of gratitude. How do I find the light, the love, and the lessons in this activity? Forgiveness. How do I keep my ease in activity that's full of dis-ease? Accountability. How am I learning from the responsibility, attraction, and participation in the perception, which leaves me more in spirit, clearing the distance of resistance of disease? You can calendar accountability. I don't. I incorporate accountability into my values. So my practices are incorporating accountability, not my calendar. But I would say that like Rob Dyrdek, who I've worked with on my student of the calendar, and then he created an app. He actually has an accountability scoring mechanism that's in his repository of time, of future time. And calendaring also, I haven't thought about this. If you want to calendar accountability, I think it's better use backwards historically in your calendar. So I can see value in taking your calendar from yesterday and scoring your accountability of the activities that have already occurred to align the meaning of the past with where you want to be, knowing that the meaning of your past does what, Cooper, you know? Doesn't define your future, but it will limit your future. People limit their future by the meaning that they give their past. Mistakes, failures, setbacks, successes, historical relevances, defined moments of their life, they'll say, oh, if I didn't go bankrupt, or if my mom didn't die, or if I was taller, I would have been this. They do. That's just a meaning. Good thing Spud Webb didn't do that. Right? Good thing every extraordinary person doesn't do that, because ordinary people will limit themselves to a limit of ordinary. Extraordinary people expand their self-image, expand their imagination, knowing that it's the meaning that will limit their imagination or self-image, and they'll never overachieve their own self-image or their imagination. So very interesting I've never thought about accountability. So very good. Who's next? Questions? Lori, you want to give her the mic? Yeah, in Chicago. You're the third person. Nick, my daughter, and you said it was the best speech I ever gave.
I haven't heard as many, but I've heard enough. I'm going to say yes. So I'm just curious how that speech, what kind of response have you gotten from people who had to touch so many lives there? I mean, I don't know. The people were just bawling.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful, but I'm just curious how people have reacted and then how you coach them as they're going through it.
It proved to me one thing about speaking. It's not what you say, it's what you feel. It's not what you say, it's what you make them feel. And so I didn't consider that a speech. I thought it was a eulogy. I did a eulogy the day before my mom's wedding, which was really good. I eulogized my mom with the same, and then I perfected it with a post-eulogy the next day. Three different eulogies, two of them on a stage, one of them at a gravesite. And it taught me, the more that I allowed who I am to show, because I just was raw. I was tired, but I wanted to do it. And I spoke from my heart. I didn't have the normal poetic rap to it that I do sometimes, the, you know, cadence of threes, the promoted, protected, loved, and perfected, maybe a couple of them, but it was more sometimes not what I said, but how I said it. I could feel it sometimes, just the pause. I looked into people's eyes and they just felt my heart break. There's one part of what I talked about my heart breaking, that everyone was crying. Because I said I was so blessed to be 57 years old and to never have had my heart broken because my mom protected me. And the only time it's ever, or I've ever known it to actually break like that, was when she passed. It dropped me to my knees. I almost asked my wife to take me to the hospital because it hurt. It physically hurt me. And that's not a speech. That was describing the best I could about how much my mom meant to me. And I think it evoked emotions for everyone else, how much the person in their life that they care, that helped protect them the most, means to them, whoever it was. It didn't have to be their mom. And I think that's why I'm so glad that we have it recorded. I don't think we posted it yet anywhere. It was too raw and too close, but there's gonna be some really good lessons and stories. I've never seen it. I didn't see San Francisco. I haven't seen the eulogy. I'm not sure it ever was recorded. And I definitely didn't see Chicago, but I'm not ready to see it, but someday I will. And I can't wait to remember what I felt like that day.
Thank you for giving.
Thank you.
I have another. I forget which Spider-Man said this on one of the late night shows. But he also had lost his mom, and he talked about how grief was such a beautiful thing because it's something that you carry that is all the unexpressed love that you had for someone that you were never able to tell them about. So it's just a constant reminder of them being there and the love and the capacity that you did have while they were in this world. What's your definition of grief?
That's interesting. Because I was blessed to eulogize my mom when she was alive. She sat in the crowd so many times. And I told everyone, one of my favorite, I think you were there, was when I won the Variety Magazine Sports Humanitarian Award with Matthew McConaughey, Seth Rogen, Morgan Freeman, Olivia Wilde, Gina Rodriguez. And I was the only non-famous person. I was between Matthew McConaughey and Morgan Freeman. And they wrote out everything they wanted me to say in a time limit. And I told them to turn it off when I stepped on stage. Andre Reed introduced me, very humorous, light, made fun of me. And I got on stage, turned off the teleprompter, and all I said was, I'm sure you have two questions. One, who the hell is this? And two, why would they give a sports agent a humanitarian award? That doesn't sound right. And I said, I'm not a philanthropist. I'm a philanthropimp. I've pimped out more celebrities, athletes, and entertainers for charity than anybody I knew. And they all laughed. And then I said, but this award's not mine. I said, my mom should be up here. And I had my mom stand up in front of all of the most famous people. And I had them give my mom a round of applause. And I said, thank you so much for this honor. Thank you, Mom, as we honor you. And I left the stage. Morgan Freeman, Gina Rodriguez, Olivia Wilde, Matthew McConaughey backstage, Andre Reed, Seth Rogen, who's high as shit, all came up to me in tears saying, that was the best acceptance speech I've ever heard. And then Seth Rogen said, can I copy it? I'm like, sure. Use my material, you son of a bitch. I'll be funnier than that Shane guy on Saturday Night Live. I know that. He bombed. No, just kidding. So, yeah, thank you. All right, next question.
How do you stay disciplined when you're setting your goals to, like, get things going? Because I think people have that spark of, like, I'm going to do this and it's going to be amazing. But then when they realize it takes work and effort and grit to get there, how do you stay disciplined when you're, with all the different things you've accomplished?
Yeah, well, this is the secret sauce right there. This is the difference. This is what most people can't do. Anyone that works with me, knows that I can do this. And Mike Tannenbaum today, we did a show, Executive Football Talk. He said, you got to learn to dance in the rain because it's going to rain. Come on. So it's going to rain. And I started to study time for this reason. And I'm going to teach this again and again and again because this is the secret sauce to success. And I've simplified it to this. Like I said, the only future that's certain is 24 hours. Everything else that's going to happen tomorrow, every other thing is not certain. It's all circumstance. Circumstance is relative to meaning. You have the power to give meaning to circumstance. So you have an extreme amount of power, except for 24 hours. And this is what causes the discipline problem. Because we don't know how to manage that. Because circumstances change time and prioritize. And no matter how much we prioritize, or reprioritize, circumstances keep on changing. It could be sunny in a couple minutes. And now my circumstances have changed. So in math, I utilize, and if I have to take one step back. One premise besides time, one premise about time in the 24 hours is I believe in order to be disciplined, you have to have faith that 2 minutes a day is worth 2 hours on a Saturday. If you don't believe that, you won't be disciplined. If you don't believe that 2 minutes a day is worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday, and if you don't believe me, think about Spanish, whether you took it or your kids take it. I've never met a kid ever who studied Spanish 15 minutes a day, every day, and didn't get an A. Do you know how many kids I know that studied 15 hours on Sunday before the Monday test and didn't get an A? Almost everyone. Some get an A, not, but everyone. So forget studying physics, quantum, whatever you want to study. Think about discipline and the people that do something a minimum amount of time every day. So you have to believe that consistent time creates exponential behavior. You can study conscious continuum, quantum physics, metaphysics. It'll all mathematically show you why I'm right, but you can use your common sense just as well. Read Gladwell, Outliers, all the people who believe in repetitive intention, even in healing. My friend had the most aggressive brain cancer that has the worst rate of all, and I don't know the medical term for it, but you can, it's like metaplast, whatever. My friend had that and beat it. Just got a clear report. No cancer. Even her own doctor said it was impossible, a miracle. No, it's not, it's math. It's what you're talking about. So how can we be and beat human nature. Divide time. So I divide time. 12 hours of each day is spent in non-negotiable, non-circumstantial activity. 12 hours a day, and those 12 hours of non-negotiable, non-circumstantial activity should be what's most important to you. So for me, 8 hours of sleep. I have a sleep coach. I'm the most intentional sleeper you're ever gonna meet. Why? Because I recover better, which is guaranteed to give me a better performance. In every aspect of life, if you recover better, you perform better. And two, I access God better. What does that mean? To me, God is omniscient and all powerful. So I'm accessing an omniscient source of information and an all powerful source of energy. That sounds pretty good use of my time. 8 hours. And I don't even have to think about it. I'm sleeping. And I get the most benefit from that. That's why 8 hours is my non-negotiable, non-circumstantial. Then I take 4 more hours and I have awake time activities. So I start with what? My health. So I put a minimum amount of time every day on my health. Then what do? Oh, family. Put a minimum amount of time every day on my family. I literally have a minimum of 2 minutes a day with my daughters. Doesn't mean on the other 12-hour side, I don't take, you know, oh, Saturday I'm going to be in New York City with Marissa. I'm going to spend 3 extra hours from here, these 12 hours, to the 2 minutes that I gave her over here. So that was 3 hours and 2 minutes, but this is circumstantial, right? If my plane's delayed, I might only get 1 hour with her, but I'm going to get 2 minutes, right? My mom passed. I spent a minimum of 1 minute a day with my mom, rarely ever missing it for almost 18 years. And it's exponential. I know people that live with their mom that didn't have the relationship I had from a minimum of one. Finance. I study my accounts. I study relativity. I study time. I study faith. A minimum amount of time. So no matter what happens tomorrow, I know 12 hours of tomorrow is taken. No matter what. Very few exceptions. I don't want a zero effect. Right? I don't want to zero it out for the day. I want to keep the W's rolling. The L's can happen in the other 12 hours. But it's all W's over here. All W's over here. Sleep, family, health, finance, faith, my study of relativity, and the study of time. So then, that's half of my life, by the way. It's not just half of a day. I'm doing that every single day. So that's half of my life is non-circumstantial. Think about that. How much do the circumstances of tomorrow when you're age, how much does circumstances of tomorrow worry you, frustrate you, anger you? A lot. Not for me, half of my life, I am at ease. It's non-circumstantial. I'm disciplined at what's most important to me, and I get aggregation, acceleration, and compounding effect out of that. Now, I help people with that, but I also really help people with the other 12 hours a day. Circumstantial behavior. What's the secret sauce to circumstantial behavior? Prioritization. So I teach people how to prioritize and use their time for all the arbitrary, capricious, circumstantial things that happen when it rains, when it doesn't rain, etc. And so when you break it down like that, every day becomes easy. And every day that goes by, it becomes more and more easy, not only for non-negotiable, non-circumstantial behavior, but for prioritized behavior according to the circumstances. You get better at prioritizing. Thank you for coming. In 2 minutes a day, remember the premise. I believe there's two premises to it. One, 2 minutes a day equals 2 hours on a Saturday, and you have to believe in something bigger than you that loves you more than your mom. I define it in my own way. You define it in yours. I don't care what names you use, but if you don't believe there's something bigger than you that loves you more than your mom, you won't be able to be disciplined because the detours will be so painful and punishing. And the only way to resolve a detour that's painful and punishing is to have faith that even though the evidence is painful and punishing, or there is no evidence that you're in the purpose, you still will continue to be disciplined because you know you're being protected, promoted, loved, and perfected. Hi, good to see you. Thanks for joining. Alrighty, nothing draws a crowd like a crowd. I told you, Denise. Anyways, all right, who has the next question? Mike with the mic. Yes. Yes. So I talk about zero effect. That's why I believe in non-negotiable, non-circumstantial behavior. 2 minutes a day, worth 2 hours on a Saturday. Why is that? If consistent behavior is exponential, and you understand exponential math, x to the zero is one. X to the first power, then to the second, to the third is x times x. X to the third is x times x times x. That's why you get the exponentiality. And so zeroing effect gives you back to one. It doesn't take you all the way back to zero. But if, let's say, we were being consistent and we were getting exponentiality and behavior aligned with where we want to be or better, I'll give you an analogy of what it looks like. If I promised you there's 1,000 steps to be a billionaire, 1,000 steps. Some of them will be slippery, some will be iced over, some will break on you, but there's 1,000 steps to get to be a billionaire. It will take you 90% of your time, effort, money, and emotion, 90% of it to get to 250 steps. And most people will quit before they get there. It then will take less than 5% more effort, time, money to get you to 500 steps, and then less than 500, another 5% to get you to 1,000, and then to 2,000. So in the understanding of exponentiality, if we're taking one step day one, we're gonna get to do 2 steps and then 4 steps. Now we don't do anything. We're not disciplined. Now we're back to 1 step a day. And then you don't do something the second day, 1 step a day. Then you don't do, and all of a sudden, those 1 steps don't get you as far. And eventually you take no steps for too long and you go all the way back to the beginning because you quit, right? Good to see you. You quit. Remember, it won't be the missteps that don't get you to 1,000 steps. It'll be the lack of commitment that doesn't get you to 1,000 steps. Everyone that got to 1,000 steps in their life, or 2,000 or 4,000 or 8,000 steps, they had many missteps. Broken steps, slip steps, ice steps, rain steps, big steps, little steps, backward steps. All of them. But none of them lack the commitment to take 1,000 steps. And so this idea of exponentiality, think about it. How many days am I going to be X to the zero, which means 1 step? Because if you don't stack the W's, you're not going to get the exponentiality. It's going to take a lot more time, a lot more energy, a lot more emotion, and more likely you're going to quit. Lack commitment. Great questions, Mike. All right, who's next? The mic's right here. Give me a question. Yes, you got one. Thank you. Yes, you are. And branding. Yes. Well, it's not just CPG brands, which are relative to health, right? So consumer product goods have a lot of relativity to health, but it's also women-owned CPG brands for me. Having 3 entrepreneur daughters, an entrepreneur wife, a mom who wasn't given an opportunity, one of the reasons I love working with Lori and have entrusted her with my brand is that she wasn't given the opportunity that my daughters were given, or Colleen's given. And so it means a lot to me. My purpose, there's a lot of pain in investing. It has to be greater than that pain. And so I'm investing in the things that I have the most purposeful alignment. I have a definite purpose of what CPG products do, the ones that are relative to health and are women-owned. So I started Meltzer Funding to help fund women and women of color. I work on LPs and GPs, and even with GoFund Yourself, 2-minute drill, office hours, we give favorable priority to women the way that they used to white middle-aged men. And I understand that. I don't discriminate. I just give more opportunity. I believe in opportunity, equity of opportunity. I believe in appreciation, not equity of people. We're not all equal. We need each other. You don't have the same fingerprint as I do. You're better at a lot of things than I am, and vice versa. So let's appreciate those differences.